We'll first do a Mimer and Nagba Omer. And then we'll do one in Parshas Emor. Now Nagba Omer comes from the Moadim book. So if you don't have that, I'm just going to read it out loud. And then we'll do
it from
the other book. Okay. We'll do Gimel. This forum Isa, it is brought in our Elvis forum, Ki Hamemtes Yamim Shal Sefira, the 49 days of the Omer, Hem Keneged Hamemches Devorim Shahatora Nikmes Bohem. They correspond to the 48 things with which one acquires Torah. That's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the 48 things you acquire Torah with. The Yom HaAcharon, and the final day of Sefira, which is 49, Hu HaKolel Shoko Hayamin, that is inclusive of all the previous 48 days. So the last day, Mahu Sheva Mahus, it includes all of the other 48 kinyanim, or ways to acquire Torah. And each day represents one kinyan Torah, one way to acquire the Torah within oneself. Ki Yamei HaSefira Hem Hachana L'Kabbalas HaTorah. As we know, the days of Sefira are a preparation for receiving the Torah. That's why it's all about Tikkun HaMidos and counting Sefira corresponding to the Midos. That's all about Ahana. And he even connects it to Kenyan Torah itself. Rick?
I know it seems like I'm parsing here. Are there 48 ways to acquire Torah and 49th day and 49th covers the previous 48 or 48? So it's not 49th.
Right. Unless we would say that the 49th way is the way which includes all of the previous, which I could see to say that. It's its own unique way that includes all the ones before.
So 49 is like the superhighway?
Right.
So somebody, got a lot of lanes. Somebody could ask, why even celebrate the, well, why worry
we
about
gotta
the
have, We got to have the proteistic avod, you know, the very specific avod of each day. And then the avodah that ties it all together. Otherwise, one would be missing out on the specific. The 49th is general. That is inclusive, but it's general. We want to get the specific avodah of each mitzvah.
I asked, I didn't quite catch that question. Is that
49th day that includes the 48th? Is that considered a way unto itself? Is that the 49th way, or is that the 48 ways by themselves? Are there 48 ways, or are there 49? So, I said, it seems like there are 48, because it says, Memches Devorim Shatran Ignas Mahem. But maybe the 49th, you know, is it its own way? When you have all of them together, and you put them together, and each one of those Derechim is included, perhaps that's a new Derechim. Right. That Kola maybe is its own way.
When I learned that, I think there was another way of counting them as 49. There's an alternative way of
getting
that
is,
Mishnah,
correct.
So it does come to make it come out to 49 as well. So that's a different answer for the same question.
Right. L'b'chol yom tzorech ha'adam l'hishtalin b'kinyan acha shevetara. Each day a person attempts to develop shleimus, wholeness, in one of those kinyanim, one of those ways to acquire and hold in the Torah. B'chol kinyan hu be'er b'fnei atzmo. He takes this to another, connects it to another idea. Each kinyan, each manner of absorbing Torah, is its own be'er. And the word be'er means a well, or a spring, be'er. So kamosha isa b'midrashim, as it says in the midrash, shememches pa'amim huzkar be'er b'torah. The word be'er, which means well, is written in the Torah 48 times. Be'er is mentioned 48 times in Torah. So he's trying to say that each way of connecting to the Torah and of acquiring Torah is like a spring. It's like a well. Each one is like a be'er. V'hem keneged hamemches devorim shahatorah nikmes bohem. It corresponds to the 48 ways the Torah is acquired. V'chol kinyan hu be'er shalim. And each kinyan, each time you get a new way to acquire Torah, it's a new well. It's a new spring. Now, perhaps one of the thoughts here is this, that a be'er is digging for water, and the water which is there is pure. But what a person has to do is, you know, go find it and bring it up. But perhaps the connection is that this be'er is within the human being. That these quality traits, the purity of the Jewish character, is really within us. It's like a be'er. And what we have to do is bring it out and draw it out. Also, the be'er is pure, because when we think of a paradigm for pure water, we think of be'er mayim chayim, which is a spring, a wellspring of water. So the concept of it coming forth from within, and also that it's pure, both of those things I think pertain to be'er.
Does the root word also mean clarity? Is that not the same?
I think it is the same shorish, because leva'er or ba'er heted is be'zayin resh. I think it's the same shorish.
So the spring water is usually clear water.
Right.
So each way would be a way of clarifying.
Clarity. Yeah, that's nice. That's idea. I'm pretty sure it's the same shorish. Okay. Ubiyomim elu, during these days, tzorech lihishtalim b'chol hamiros ha'elu, a person must attempt to become whole in every midah of each day, chesed, gevura, tiferes, etc., and of each kinyan Torah, kedei sheyihyeh b'yicholto l'kabel ha'Torah, so that it will be within his ability to receive the Torah. This is really a critical idea here, because what we're saying is that for us, and in Yiddishkeit, we don't separate the study of Torah from the development of character. Those two things can't be separate. I'm going to be a learned person and, you know the Gemara and things like that. But, you know, my character has really no connection. I can do all the mental work, and my character is something else. And we don't say that in the realms of Torah. But in order to really be Mekabel Torah, it has to take effect on a person's personality, which is being mesukun, fixed and repaired, rectified at all times. The tikkun hamidos for us is really part and parcel of Kabbalah Satori. Midos are not repaired and not improved. The Torah has no real human being to affect itself upon, to fall upon. The more we repair ourselves, the more the Torah is able to take hold of us. Bruce?
Of course, one has to look at that all the time, but
right.
Isn't it really, for most people, you would think it's a given, if you immerse yourself in Torah, you're going to automatically be working on your midos and everything, because, you know, I'm not talking, unless you're looking at it, somebody just to sit there intellectually,
right.
Like teaching a college course on Talmud,
right.
You know, you have to be affected and changed, and, you know, you're not just reading words.
I mean, we would like to think that would be true, and often it is true, but there are instances of Torah being studied and people not really abiding by the life changes it requires, and just looking at it as a source of wisdom and a culturally rich and deep intellectual, but to change the personality, to actually put into practice its laws, that's a different step, and we see that is done, and it's not that uncommon. Now what we have to do, I think, is apply that to our own life and realize, okay, where we are committed to trying to improve ourselves as people. Right? We believe in that. We believe in Tikkun HaMidah. So how, in what way are we doing this? Right? How are we separating our personality development from Torah? We're doing it too. You know, we may not be blatantly doing it, but we're doing it. In some way, we're not allowing the Torah to really filter itself into the complete personality. You know, we block it out where it threatens us, or when we sense some kind of a fear of change, or something like that. We keep it at a distance. So in some way, this applies to people, no matter where they are at.
But we're still working on it.
We're working on it.
And we're doing it even right now.
We are working on it, and we believe in it. But we're also, I think the good term is, we're all in denial in some way, right?
Or no, of course. I mean,
we're not honest with what the Torah is really saying.
I'd have to agree that I don't think we have turned ourselves, you know, this person talking, can't talk about everybody else, completely over to Hashem's
right.
will.
Right. So that's what we're trying to do. Okay. It's an interesting thing on Lag BaOmer. The Remez LaDavar, a hint to this is, Shalag BaOmer, he neged Kinyan Lamed Gimel. Lag BaOmer would then correspond to the 33rd Kinyan Torah, the 33rd thing. And what is that thing? Shehu L'das Harbe Meharishonim. According to many Rishonim, Eho Es HaTochachas. For a person to love rebuke. Right, to actually really enjoy when a person points out an insight into our own character deficiencies. Tochachas. And to love that. Say Rabbi Akiva was like that. Someone would correct Rabbi Akiva, he would kiss them. He would thank them for pointing out to him something that he didn't see. So the 33rd day of Sphira corresponds to this openness to another person's insight into how we need to repair and correct ourselves.
So then we should thank somebody for having us help us have
yeah.
a bad day.
Right.
Well, we would consider this has been a really bad day. You know, we should just thank somebody.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah.
How does that mesh with the Mida for which is the
right. Now this,
back
as Nisan is pointing out, Hod Shebahod is the Mida of Lag BaOmer, and I would like to talk about it more in terms of the general Mida of Hod, as opposed to Hod Shebahod, which can get kind of tricky. But in the general Mida of Hod, you know, Hod means to appreciate, recognize, acknowledge, thank. All those words have to do with Hod. And when a person is given by another tochacha, an insight into something that they're doing wrong, the Mida of Hod is essential, because I need to acknowledge and appreciate that I have chesronos, I have shortcomings, and to really take another person's point of view into appreciation as well. And if I'm able to do that, I have a good chance of really looking at what I'm doing wrong and hopefully repairing it. I need the Mida of Hod, you know, of recognition and acknowledgement. I need that Mida in order to really take in seriously the improvements that I need to make.
Humility comes more to mind.
Humility is a prerequisite almost of any Mida, and certainly of Hod, because humility means that a person is taking their own ego out of their perspective.
Right, which is the key
right.
element of the equation
right.
of being able to see things
to see
from another
things.
Person's perspective.
That's right.
Humility is the previous one of the 48
yes.
waves.
Yes, that's right.
So you were always in like one of the first 10.
Right.
So
right.
that you've gone through that to some degree by
sure.
coming in here.
Sure. And it also, in general, it runs through all the Midas, humility. Okay. V'lachein b'yom hazeh hifsik misas tamid Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, on this day, Lag BaOmer, the tamidim of Rabbi Akiva, they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. She misasam hoya yidei shelo hoya b'hem ahavas haverim. Their death was in that they did not conduct themselves with love and respect for each other, on whatever level that applies to them. V'hachna'a, and humility. When Lag BaOmer came around, they reached Shlemus in this Mida, and they were prepared then to listen to each other's comments about where they needed to improve. Up until that point, they were lacking in that Mida. It's not respecting what another person has to say, or not respecting what another person points out. I can't listen to that. You know, if you're going to say it, I'm going to tune it out, I'm going to block it, I'm going to ignore it. Eho ves hatochafos says, I'm prepared to listen to that. And he connects that to respect. That if I respect another person, it also involves respecting them, that I'm willing to listen to what they're wanting to point out in me. That's respectful also. Now, maybe it's right and maybe it's wrong, but I got to listen to it and try and see if it applies. And they were hishtalmu atzman b'mida zu sho'el ehov es ha'tofachos, and they then, on this day, became complete in this 33rd kinyan to love tofacha, to love rebuke. Now, of course, there's a strong obligation on the one who delivers rebuke to do it properly. And that's a big part of the picture, too. It has to be out of love, sensitivity, concern. The right words need to be used. It requires a good mochiach, a good person delivering the tofafa, and a good makabo, a good person receiving the tofafa. And that's a pretty delicate art form. Yeah, Ruth?
This lack in Rabbi Akiva's suit seems to be a self-centeredness on their part. And, you know, and it was more or less that this is all me. And then it seems that what you're saying is they made a miraculous recovery, did their tshuva, and were just open. Now, of course, they had a devastating amount of loss. But also how, you know, which is my question really, my real question is, how could Rabbi Akiva have raised students as a whole? I mean, I don't know how many students he had all together. I mean, you know, maybe you know, maybe it says somewhere, but here it is, that's a lot of students that died. So, I mean,
but he actually got five after that, right? I don't know if they were all wiped out. It almost sounds like they were, because the way it's expressed is that after these 24,000 died, he then went ahead and continued to teach five new Talmidim, one of them, which was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
So, question is, how could, if he was the Rebbe, and, you know, not being disrespectful at all.
Right, right.
Question is, where's the message for Rabbi Akiva in that, and where does that apply to us?
Right.
That, you know, that's scary.
Right.
What a tragedy. I mean, and it's incomprehensible to me.
It really is hard to comprehend. I have not seen Rabbi Akiva implicated in any of this form as the Rebbe. Just sometimes the Rebbe try as he may to get something across, but the students don't listen or won't listen for whatever reason. And maybe he was really trying to teach him this Mida, but they just weren't able to get it. Now, we asked a couple weeks ago about Nodav and Avihu, when they died, was there some kind of a culpability emotion on? And I said I hadn't seen any, although that same Shabbos, I did see a connection to Nodav and Avihu to the Fato Ego, and connecting it a little bit to Aaron, our poet. But I never saw anything connecting Moshe to it. Likewise, here also, I have not seen Rabbi Akiva brought in to culpability as their Rebbe. Although certainly he suffered through their death. Okay. Perhaps they were listening to the Rebbe as well. It's possible.
Yeah, I know Rabbi Akiva was held accountable for previous generations since later on.
You mean when he was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem? Yeah. I mean, that really is not being held accountable, but it really means that he is taking that upon himself to do that. You know, and was the death of his Talmidim related to that? Not that I've seen, but it was some kind of a universal tikkun when Rabbi Akiva and other of the ten brothers, right, that had to do with the whole of Klal Yisrael, and their deaths in that manner kind of made some kind of a tikkun for that. Yeah, I mean, you have to be careful with that. We were talking about a little while ago that. That doesn't in any way suggest that these people are deified,
right?
This is a human thing. And we do believe that the Misa of the death of a tzaddik is mechaper for the rest of our people. We do believe that, but we don't believe that they're God. Or infallible.
What was that? There's hundreds.
Yeah, and also just many other, you know, problems with that faith with respect to Yiddishkeit, you know, this is just one of them. But you'll find that there are they nursed off of the Jewish faith some of their Yesodos. I'm destroyed in them. Is that right?
This idea of loving rebuke, Noah Weinberg taught extensively these 48 ways.
Right.
And I remember it was an assignment given to, on this particular one, to find five people and ask them to rebuke, seek rebuke. But the main was to be thrilled with the reaction, that your reaction was to be thrilled with whatever they told you, even if it wasn't relevant, to foster the idea of not being in denial of shortcomings. And that was a very powerful, actually, little exercise. And of course, you asked people who you had some respect for or connection with.
Right.
So maybe you would get some ideas of where to improve yourself. But it's kind of a vulnerable type of exercise.
It is a vulnerable thing. It has to be a certain level of trust. Yeah.
Same question. This
there's one. There's somebody you could practice with.
Speaking of practice, I understand this Lord Boma is a big thing at Eretz Israel, but the country is primarily, unfortunately, made up of secular Yidden, so they don't have the same understanding about the 48 or 49 steps or
Sure. Says
the Hebrew. So how do they look upon Lord Boma? Just another picnic? And
it's like a holiday for a lot of the secular Israelis. A lot of secular Israelis celebrate Lag BaOmer. It's a very pleasant and joyous day there. They light bonfires.
Yeah, what a mix for them. They're in Simcha.
I think the secular is being removed entirely. Most Israelis are also. And sometimes you just they sort of pick and choose that they
right.
You see the surveys right. They do stuff.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah, we're being condescending to secular Israelis. I mean, all of us, including my own thoughts.
Right.
Yet they're in Simcha. They have no. They have no connection. So much to Yiddishkeit, yet they're celebrating, and they're in Eretz Yisrael, which in itself is a special mitzvah. So, you know, what a beautiful thing, in one sense.
I'll take it. I'll go for that.
Where do you get the connection between
the Kli Yaakov? The Kli Yaakov brings down a number of the reasons for why Nadav and Avihu died, and then one of them he brings down is the fate of the ego.
I'm not sure.
We should take a look at it to make sure. I could find it out there, but I don't know.
Sure.
You signed that a comment before?
Yeah.
Okay. Now instead of doing the one from Emor, which I think we can't quite do in this time, we'll do one more from Lag BaOmer, which is letter Vav.
Okay.
The Lag BaOmer, whose man the his hazek b'Torah. On Lag BaOmer, it is a time for people to strengthen themselves in the study of Torah. Sha'af im lo lamai, even if a person didn't learn. V'hoyo lo zmanim shel nefila, and they had times of falling, you know, descent, and being down. The Lag BaOmer, on this day, whose man this is the time for a person to strengthen themselves if they have fallen. We can all take a personal lesson from Rabbi Akiva himself. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 of his Talmidim die. I mean, it's staggering to even begin to think about what Rabbi Akiva had to endure as he witnessed the death of his Talmid. I remember a conversation I had once in a group with one of the Rosh Yeshiva of a Hesder Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Gush Etzion, and we were talking about the soldiers and the army, and it came up his own the depth of his sorrow at the loss of his students who, you know, were soldiers and the ones who perished, you know, in war, fighting, and were attacked, you know, by Arabs. And I remember, you know, as he was talking about it, like he was crushed. He was crushed by these boys who became members of the Israeli army who lost their lives, you know, fighting to protect our people and our land. So here we have Rabbi Akiva, right, who loses 24,000, I mean, if we try and, like we say this each time of the year when this comes up, and Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students who died, but I mean, to think about that for a moment, it's just awesome and it's devastating. That would be like hundreds of yeshivos, Rahman al-Islam, just dying en masse. I mean, that's what it would be like.
How many Talmudim did he have altogether?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this is what he had or if he had more than that. I don't know.
Just wrong in the amount of the meme.
Mm-hmm. I did see that, yeah.
25,000 to amount of the meme. Right. So it's a substantial place. You know,
right, right. And Talmidim, right? These are people who he taught Torah to. He was their Rebbe. So one of the things that a person might think is, well, how could Rebbe Akiva go on? After this happened, how could a person continue? But he did. V'acharka, after they all died, he'amid chamisha Talmidim. He established five new students. U'beinehem Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And one of those five was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Rashbi.
You're right, it sounds like there's no other student.
It sounds like that from here, that they were the ones and he had to find five new ones. I don't know if that's so, but it sounds like that. But I do know that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was not his Talmud at that time when the others died. He did come later, as far as he goes, the Rashbi. Sh'al yidei hem hoya hispashtus ha-Torah b'Yisrael, and it was through those five that the dissemination of Torah amongst the Jewish people occurred. So here's a man who loses 24,000 students. You'd certainly see how someone would give up. Instead, he gets five Talmidim, not 100, not 1,000, five. And those five are responsible for the spreading and the maintaining of Torah in the Jewish people. Those five. Came, colon, therefore, the lo nisi aish, Rabbi Akiva did not give up hope, mizeh. Shemesu lo chavdal at elef tamid, that 24,000 of the students died. He wasn't Mishyayish. Cain, kol adam, so to every person, af sho'afrulo, esteros shonim, the nifilos, every person who's gone through difficult times, times of darkness and descent and falling and blackness in life, yichazek atzmo b'limud ha-Torah, can strengthen themselves in the study of Torah, and not to give up. So one could say, well, you know, two-thirds of Sfira is already over. I haven't really worked on my midos that much. I'm supposed to be doing this every day, but, you know, it's already the 33rd day. Ein lo l'hisyayish. Don't give up. U'kamosha omar harav ha-kodesh ha-magid mekoshnitz. As he says from the great tzaddik, the koshnitz or magid, zecha tzaddik uvrach, Allah kodesh. It says in the Torah, about counting Sfira, ad mimocharas hashabbos hashvis, until the day after the seventh week, tisperu chamishim yom, you shall count 50 days. So this is how the Koshnitzer Magen learns that pasuk. She'af in kvar ovar lo kol hamemtes yom shel Sfira, even if all 49 days are just about over, right, you're at the very end, Adayin hu yachol berega echad, you can at one moment, in one instant, through a serious, real moment of teshuva, and tikkun hamidos, lohe'ir ba'avodaso kamoha avoda shokol hachamishim yom, to take a step in avoda equivalent to all 50 prior days. So the concept of not giving up is, it's true that it means to persevere and to go on and not to allow the nefilos, the fallings in life to cause us to give up. But he says something more than that too. He's saying, you know, you never know when that opening is going to come. And when that opening comes, in all those previous times that we fell, we're going to go into that doorway and they're all going to be uplifted. We're not going to leave them behind. All those 49 previous days that we think maybe we blew it, when you get in on, at the right gate on the 50th day, they're all going to go up too. So perseverance is part of it, and the other part of it is that we really don't lose out on the efforts that we put forth earlier. Even if we did not succeed earlier, those same efforts will be lifted up when we get through the opening when that time comes. That's a beautiful mashal. We don't lose out on the efforts that we try.
Even if we die trying.
Even if we die trying? Well, you know, there is the concept of a person who dies mitoch tshuva, you know, from out of the depths of his tshuva. And they say on that, that yesh kol min olama b'sho'a achas, that there are those people who acquire olam haba in one instant. You know, that they put it all together at the very end of their life, and they, if it's real and it's authentic, then everything else really led up to that moment. And they die out of tshuva. And that's the famous story of Elazar ben Dodai in the Gemara. It was with all the prostitutes in the world he could possibly think of, and then he had a moment of realization of teshuva, and he asked the heavens to be mispala for him and the mountains, and they all said that they're doing their own stuff, he's got to do his stuff. And he put his head between his legs and he cried out in teshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he died mitoch that feeling. And one of the Chachami, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, pointed to him as Yesh Konim Olam HaBishalach, as those who acquire the moment. That meant that it's real, right? I mean, that he really achieved that at that moment.
Rabbi Wolf told a beautiful story related to that.
Yeah, what did he say?
He talks about, it's about personal responsibility. You know, when he asked the sun and the moon to vouch for him, that was trying to blame his problems on his parents. When he asked the stars in the mountains to vouch for him, that was trying to blame it on other people and institutions. And, you know, it was like, society did it to me. You know, my employer did it to me. You know, and when he finally ran out of people to place the blame on, he had to accept personal responsibility, and that was when he developed that aspect of Shibhod and got humble enough and appreciative enough to receive the rebuke properly.
Very nice. It's a nice lesson.
I need to ask over here some technical halakhic questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lag BaOmer falls today, falls on Erev Shabbos, uh-huh, because of the time frame, do we still have to wait till what time tomorrow? I know I wouldn't ask a question, but this has been a very bizarre calendar year.
Well, tomorrow morning you can get a haircut. I'd have to look and see if the haircut is allowed tonight when Lag BaOmer is Erev Shabbos.
John the barber.
John the barber.
Night? Before nightfall. Yeah. No, that might be a problem.
Maybe after nightfall, after skier would be all right.
As good as he is, you know.
Sounds like a Christian thing.
Richard, can you give me the, Chalik?
Yeah. But you could have music tonight, right?
Yes, you can. Chalik, hey. Mishnah Berurah. Just on the right, a little bit toward the right there.
Yeah, with, you know.
Chalik, hey.
That's
John the barber. Thank
you. Yeah, we can't pass him that. We can't pass him that.
But wait, is he on our tape? Is John the barber on our tape?
Well, I understand that. That's why I wanted to know what the technical.
Let me
because,
see what the dean is.
You know, this year when we have Purim falls on the Erev Shabbos, and we have Erev Pesach on Shabbos and all that, I just need to know. This is my first experience with this up here in Baltimore, and I need to know what the exact what is.
Okay.
So,
you're
thinking.
I put it on you.
I'm
Lag BaOmer.
Yeah.
Comes Thursday.
Okay, this is how the Mishnah Berurah passed. He said, there are those who are leaning in to get a haircut, meaning any time at Lag BaOmer, at night time, although the Eliyahu Rabbah and others say that they have not seen them be makel with that. by weddings, except on the daytime and not the night beforehand. However, when Lag BaOmer falls on Erev Shabbos, right, which is this year, v'hu lo sha'as ha'dechak la'asos bayom. If it's too difficult for a person because time is pressing, time is precious, and they don't have time to get a haircut on Lag BaOmer day because it's Erev Shabbos, efshar sheyesh lohokel. It's possible that one could be lenient lo la'asos b'layla shelefana. So this is a very cautious heter that the Mishnah Berurah is writing. He's not saying go ahead and get a haircut the night before. He says if you really don't have a lot of time tomorrow and you're really going to run into the crunch, then it's possible that you could get a haircut tonight.
Well, let's look at the, can we look at the other?
So,
what's the other side of that?
The other side is that it's clear that you should get a haircut tomorrow unless one doesn't have time. Then they can be
But is it are we to assume that this is saying that you should get a haircut?
A Lag BaOmer?
Right.
No, you don't
you're
have to.
You're allowed
to. You're allowed.
How many people get that shaggy in 33
no,
days?
No, so this
kind of boggles my mind. Everybody would be rushing to the barber.
Right. But that's the point I'm making. If you don't have to get a haircut on the 33rd day, I mean, you could wait till Sunday or Monday.
Yes, you could.
So therefore, it's an unusual circumstance.
Well, in this instance, so also you have Kravitz Shabbos into consideration here.
But if it must have been, you know, so therefore, like, you know, I could use a trim, but it's, so is it not Kavod Shabbos if I don't get a haircut tomorrow? So that means I should get one tonight. Because I can't go.
If you don't have time, if you don't have time to do it tomorrow, and you were wanting to get your haircut with Kravitz Shabbos, then sure, we should do it. We should do it tonight. Because to get it Sunday, that's like saying, well, you know, I'm just putting it off, but it's clearly you wanted a haircut, so one should do it for Kavod Shabbos.
Wouldn't it be a big mitzvah if I thought about it now and I can go beat the rush, you know?
clearly from this, definitely not before night. I mean, no way.
Yeah.
So this is
after
clearly only at Lag BaOmer at nighttime, only B'Shas HaDechak.
And you could have barbecues at the skier when at night.
In terms of music and things like that, people are hoping to celebrate tonight.
Did someone have a wedding?
In Eretz Yisrael, Lag BaOmer, they're already celebrating at night.
At this time, right.
But haircuts, they wait till the next year.
Okay. Is someone allowed to get married
tomorrow?
You can get married
tonight. Not during the night time.
Not
during the day.
But you don't really see it.
But you can't get married tonight.
Mm-hmm. Not at the garden.
Yet you could have music tonight.
Yeah, but see, getting married is much more strict than not listening to music. But when the halacha talks about the things you're not allowed to do during sefira, it's getting married and getting the haircut. Music is not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not mentioned.
In the Shulchan Aruch, getting married and getting a haircut are the two things.
That's the two strict things.
Right? During sefira, just up until Lag BaOmer.
During sefira, however you hold. So if you hold the beginning until Lag BaOmer, you hold after that.
Okay.
So
then,
We typically hold up until Lag BaOmer.
I can't say that I do. You know, my Rebbe held all his sefira, because that was the min of Arizal. That's what he did. That's what he did. I usually hold the first part because I just like to do it, and then attend to Lag BaOmer, and then I'm done.
Right.
I don't like to continue in this.
Right. And in this day and age, it's hard not to listen to music for 50 days.
Right.
33 is long enough.
So
it only takes so much talk radio.
It doesn't look like it.
Well,
get married tonight. Let me just look at it one more time.
It's
tremendous.
It's
very, very nice.
The only question.
He says here that from the Mishnah Berurah that he has not, from the Eliyahu Rabbah, that concerning marriage he has not seen people who are makil to get married Lag BaOmer at night, only Lag BaOmer during the day.
Yeah.